Good evening. I'd like to welcome each of y'all out tonight on this kind of rainy afternoon. We're thankful for the rain that was sent our way, and we should praise God for the rain that He has sent our way. And I thank you for this opportunity that I've been given to speak to you tonight. It's a privilege and honor to be able to bring God's word to you tonight. A few announcements. There's an announcement on the bulletin board out here that was sent. They're looking for a office manager or assistant manager at the Accept Pregnancy Center, and I just want to let you know that's on the bulletin board, and who to contact is out there. And I want to say thank you to the teenagers that was here yesterday for the help they gave, and all this you see up here getting ready for VBS. A lot of them had a part in it, and I thank them. And throughout this week, we'll be having some more changes done to this auditorium to get ready for Vacation Bible School, and I want to thank them for their hard work. Tonight we're going to look at the title of the sermon is Three Marks of Discipleship. And how do we know if we're a disciple of Christ? And we're going to look at three characteristics that each Christian should have. And I came up with the analogy of a firefighter. Everybody can identify with a firefighter. And they can you say a firefighter, and the first thing that pops in your head is a big red truck with ladders and sirens and everything. And you just get this image. And from the time I was a little boy, you know, firefighters were cool. You know, you got the big threes, doctors, police, and firefighters. Those are the big three that you want to grow up to be. And I want to look at some similarities between a firefighter and how do you know what a firefighter is? What sets a firefighter apart from just an ordinary person on the street? And I want to make some analogies to that to a Christian. And what sets us apart from the everyday person in the world? First, we talked a little bit about how we identify a firefighter. One, he drives the big red truck. Around here, some of them are white and some of them are this orange color. And I don't know, I'm not sure what that's all about. But back home we have red fire trucks, and that's the Tennessee, you know, the good old red fire trucks. But you see a firefighter, you think of a red truck. You also think of his helmet, his gear that he puts on, his fire protected suit, and you think of the boots that he wears, the special boots, and the ladders that he uses, and the hoses that he uses, and his axes, and his different stuff that he uses that equips him so that he can go out and do his duties. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see this armor that we're told to put on. Let me just read this real quick. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And it talks about His equipment that He's supposed to put on. It talks about the helmet and the breastplate and have your feet shod and just different things that you're supposed to have with you to be able to go out and to be a Christian. Just like a firefighter has his suit that he puts on to go out and fight fires. That's how we are supposed to be. That helps to set us apart from the everyday person. It sets us apart and gives us identity. Also, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let not even be named among you, as it is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." There's also another characteristic another identity that we're supposed to have. And that is for us to imitate God. We're supposed to be imitators of God. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul tells us to imitate me is also imitate Christ. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. That gives us our identity as Christians. We're supposed to spend time with Christ so that we may have identity with Him. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Many people will recognize verses 69 and following as when Peter denies Christ three times. I don't want us to focus on that right now, but I want us to focus on the people recognized that he was with Jesus. Because he had been around Jesus, and because of the things that he had done and people had seen him with Jesus, they identified him with Christ. Even though he denied Christ three times that night, he had an identity of Christ. And that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to have the identity of Christ and be Christ-like. That's the whole meaning of the word Christian, is to be Christ-like. So the first thing that we're supposed to have as three marks, or three distinctive marks of a Christian, is to have identity with Christ. The second mark is obedience. Have you ever seen firefighters come up to a house that's burning? If you haven't seen that, it's amazing how quick they react. And they make split-second decisions that can affect the whole call that they're coming to. And there's usually a chief on that truck, or somebody in command. And when that chief gets there, he looks at the fire and he says, okay, this is how we're going to go about it. You go here, you go there, and we're going to attack it this way. But there's somebody in charge there. I ask you tonight, who's your chief? Who's your chief? Who gives you your so-called marching orders? I believe Christ should be our chief. He's the one who gives us our marching orders. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we're in him. Guys, Christ is our chief. And the way that we know that we're in him and we're a part of him is if we keep his commandments. And this is his commandment book. We talked about in class this morning that this is our little instruction book. This is God's instruction book for us. And he wants us to follow this. If we do that, he tells us that we'll be rewarded greatly. But God wants us to be obedient towards him. Also in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It tells us how we're obedient to him. Luke 9. Verse 23, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The way that we obey his commandments is we take up our crosses and we follow him. We follow him. We deny ourselves and we turn our back on this world and we devote ourselves to God. Our invitation song is, I have decided to follow Jesus. I want you to keep that in mind while we sing it. Have you truly devoted your life to God? Have you turned your back on the world? As far as it says in there, no turning back, I'll follow him. As we continue through our lesson, I want you to think about that. And have you truly devoted your life to God? Also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Gives us another little insight as to what will happen to us if we follow God's word and what happens if we don't. Matthew 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and great it fell. And great was its fall. We have to remember that not only do we have to hear the words of God, but we have to act upon it. This isn't something that we just sit there and let things kind of hit us. It takes some action. Just like in school, in order for you to get that good grade, one, you had to listen to the teacher and absorb what they were saying, but it took a little bit of work on your part to get that good grade. It took some time and energy from you to put into that lesson that you had to turn back in, or that project that you had to do. It takes some effort, guys. It takes some effort for us to follow Christ. And just like here, we'll be likened to a man who built his house on the rock. And there's no firmer rock than Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And that's who we should build our lives around. So the second characteristic is obedience. The last one that I want to talk about, the last distinctive mark of a Christian, is being fruitful. Just like as a firefighter, he has to be identified as a firefighter. He has to use the right equipment, the right tools. He has to dress like a firefighter for people to believe who he's a firefighter. And he has to obey his chief. But there's certain fruits that come from it. And we can see those quite evident. I believe that paramedics, my dad's a paramedic, and I believe that paramedics and firefighting are two of the most hardest jobs to deal with. Because I can't count, and I don't think my dad can count how many lives he's lost right there in the back of that ambulance. And how many houses has a firefighter lost to fire? I don't think you can count them. But yet, those two jobs, there's great joy and great benefits from those jobs. To see one person saved, to see one house, you know, have the flames put out before everything is destroyed, to see that happen, it outweighs everything else. And there's great joy and great benefits from those two jobs. But also there's fruits that come from these jobs, the fruits that they have of being able to help people, the service that they give. I think that's the same way as Christians, is we have an obligation to show our fruits to be fruitful and to show our fruits to each other. John 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus is speaking here. Says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word, words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. In order for us to be Christians or disciples of Christ, we have to be fruit bearers. It says here, what happens to the branch that doesn't produce fruit? It's cut out, it's taken away, and burned. If we as Christians aren't producing the fruit that we should be, one day God's going to take us and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you will be cast into an everlasting fire. We need to think very seriously about the fruits that we're bearing, making sure they're the right fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, gives a little more about this fruit business. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. It says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." The fruits that we produce will judge us in the end, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The fruits that we produce will judge us. I want you to remember that as you go throughout this week and the things that you do, the things that you say. Remember, we're supposed to be disciples of Christ. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Can people see you, see Christ in you, see you imitating Christ? If not, we need to take a step back and reevaluate some things. Tonight, the sermon's been kind of short, and I know, and I want it to be that way. I didn't want to have a long sermon or anything. That's just not my nature. That's just not me, Brother LB. That's just not me to go on and on and on. But tonight, I think we studied some things and looked at some things that can help us be better disciples of Christ. We looked at the identity. We looked at the obedience. We looked at the fruits that we bear. Three things that should set us apart from the world. And that's what the Bible talks about us being sanctified is all about. We're not any better than anybody else. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. But it's all about us being set apart from the world. Being set apart from this world of sin. And praising God and giving Him the glory for what He's done. The song of encouragement is 7:39. "I have decided to follow Jesus." In a minute, we're going to sing this song. And as singing this song, I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about your heart and think about your relationship between you and God. Because it doesn't matter about the person sitting next to you. You don't have to worry about them. They got themselves to worry about. You should be concerned for their soul, yes. But the priority is getting your life right with God first. And in the process of you getting your life right, that will help other people getting their life right with Christ. Tonight, have you truly decided to follow Jesus? If you've never obeyed His commandments, what better night is there than tonight? If you've fallen short of His glory and you want to ask prayers of forgiveness from the church, what better night is there? If you just want strength and encouragement from the church, what better night? Just to redevote your life to Christ and say, "Yeah, I've struggled in the past, but tonight I want to decide to follow Jesus." Tonight, will you decide to follow Jesus while we stand together and sing?
I have decided.